Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hi there, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the undarkened corridors of power and shine a light ahead of us to where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right, front and center, to face the music and dance together. In other words, to address problems rather than simply defending positions. Today we're going to be talking about 5G. 5G stands for fifth generation cellular technology, which promises to deliver data rates that are 10 to 100 times faster than the current 4G. Not only does this mean much faster download rates, but as we were told, 5G will also enable new technologies like self-driving cars and augmented reality. Mobile devices will be able to send and receive information in less than 1/1000th of a second, appearing instantaneously to the user. Faster internet, faster downloads on our smartphones, fast, fast, fast. Well, not so fast. Not so fast, say some concerned citizens and scientists. And as with cell phones, the radiation from this 5G technology has been linked to higher cancer rates. The cell phone providers and mainstream media insist that everything is safe, there's no problem. Well, are they correct? Or is this just another issue where those with much to gain are railroading an untested technology? Our guest this week, Arthur Furstenberg, has written a book on the subject, literally, and he is here to help clear the air. Arthur is a scientist and journalist who's been at the forefront of a global movement to have a transparent conversation around the apparent trance of 5G technology. He graduated Phi Beta Kappa from Cornell with a degree in mathematics. He attended University of California, Irvine School of Medicine. He was injured by an X-ray overdose, and that's what cut short his medical career. And for the past nearly 40 years, he's been a researcher, consultant, and lecturer on health and environmental effects of electromagnetic radiation. He's the founder of the independent campaign group Cellular Phone Task Force. He's authored two books, Microwaving Our Planet, The Environmental Impact of the Wireless Revolution, and The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life. Welcome, Arthur.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. You know, when it comes to 5G, there seems to be not just two narratives, but two completely different realities. Try it. All you need to do is Google 5G dangers, and there are a slew of official websites that come up insisting there are no dangers. It's safe. It's safe. It's safe. How is it that you have come up with such a different narrative to what every seems like all the authorities are trying to tell us?
Well, that's an interesting question. This debate is not only about 5G. It has been going on for a couple of centuries. Before there was 5G, there was 4G and 3G and 2G and 1G. And that only goes back about 30 years.
Yeah.
And before that, people were concerned, were yelling about electromagnetic pollution from power lines. Actually, it was from computers. And before computers, it was power lines. And before power lines, it was electricity itself. And the debate about electricity goes back to the year, basically, to the 1750s. So this has been going on for a long time, and electricity is so useful that we have adopted it as a culture without thinking about the side effects and without wanting to know about the side effects. And there's tremendous denial, and it's been happening for a very long time.
Well, why don't you tell us about your entry into this field? I mean, did it begin with your injury, or was there something else?
It began with my injury, yes, it did. I was in medical school. I was at the end of my second year, the summer after my second year of med school. And I had tooth trouble and the root canal, and suddenly things were not what they used to be. My body did not tolerate the root canal, and I kept on going back to the dentist, and he sent me to another dentist, and he sent me to another dentist, and in the course of a summer, I had something like 40 or 50 x-rays. And during the last set of x-rays, something happened inside my head, and my life was changed forever. When I went back to the hospital the next morning, I could feel a little like electricity, like shocks, like electricity from virtually every electrical appliance in the hospital. And this was a subject that they did not teach, electromagnetic fields. Although a heck of a lot of literature is out there, they did not teach it. And I began to do research, and I went to the medical school's library. This was at University of California, Irvine. And lo and behold, I saw several shelves full of books. Books. Reviewing the literature and doing research and all kinds of things on electromagnetic fields and its effect on health and biology. And that was my introduction to this subject.
At the time, there weren't any cell phones, really, I don't think.
There were no cell phones. This was 1980. The first personal computers had been marketed in about 3 years previously. Most people didn't even have a computer in those days. Medicine was certainly not operating digitally and with computers yet.
So your sensitivity really had to do with somehow that what was it that the X-rays precipitated that caused this sensitivity, and was it sensitivity to electrical appliances or?
I don't call it sensitivity. I call it injury. I was injured. The nowadays everybody in society is being seriously injured, but they don't recognize the cause. Back in 1980, it was a little more subtle. And those of us who were seriously injured were not that frequent. But and I eventually recovered and went about my life as if it hadn't happened. But that was only possible until every workplace became computerized, and I discovered that I couldn't work anymore. And then 1996, with the wireless revolution and cell towers parading across the landscape everywhere you went, it started to become impossible to live, and not only for me, but for lots and lots of other people. And we're only the small minority of people who know the cause. We have managed to find out through an acute injury like mine or something more chronic, some few people have managed to find out what's causing their headaches and dizziness and nausea and heart palpitations and memory problems and so forth. But these things are very, very common in the general population, except most people have not managed to figure out what's causing it because they're not told. It's not taught in medical school. It's not told to them by their doctors because their doctors didn't learn it in medical school, and our society remains in denial.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I've had friends who have been chemically poisoned by pesticides and underwent severe environmental trauma. And what that did was it raised their sensitivity to all of these other things. So would you suggest that this was brought to consciousness because of whatever injuries occurred from all of those root canals, which now they tell you are bad for you, and then how many x-rays? 50 x-rays? You know, that's a lot of x-rays.
It is a lot, yeah.
So you had a condition that precipitated your awareness about this. When you are, let's say you started working in places that had computers and so on, you would get headaches and et cetera, all of these symptoms?
Well, it's I can't remember exactly what my symptoms were, but I was working in a workplace throughout the 1980s, and in about the year, was it 1989 or 1990, the place was fully computerized, and I discovered that I couldn't work there anymore, and I looked for another job, and it was the same everywhere. This particular workplace was late in getting computerized, as it turned out.
So obviously, I mean, now of course there's been a number of studies that have related electromagnetic radiation to brain cancer. You know, people having the phones close to their heads and so on. That's been ongoing for certainly at least 20 years. That conversation's been ongoing.
As I document in my book, yeah. The majority of all types of cancer today is caused by what in some countries is called electrosmog. Mm-hmm. And it goes unrecognized.
Let's get a little bit into the biology of that. How do these waves actually impact our cells and organs? And are there certain cells and organs that are more susceptible?
Our nervous system is an electrical system, and it's subject to interference, radio interference, just like any electronics is. Our heart is the electrical pathways in our heart, which the electrical pacemaker is subject to interference. The communication between our nervous system and all our organs, and that's on a gross level. And then we have on the cellular level, our mitochondria are responsible for metabolism. That we digest our food, and the last step in metabolism occurs in the mitochondria of your cells, where the simple sugars and fatty acids and amino acids generate electrons, which combine with the oxygen you breathe, and the electron transport chain in your mitochondria moves electrons from basically the food you eat to the oxygen you breathe, and the electron transport is also subject to electrical interference. So if you interfere with electron transport in your mitochondria, this slows down metabolism. You can't digest your sugars, fats, and proteins as efficiently as you used to do, and your sugars back up into your bloodstream, and that's called diabetes. and your fats back up into your bloodstream and get deposited in your coronary arteries, and that causes heart disease. And you're effectively somewhat starved of oxygen, and this forces your cells to some extent into anaerobic metabolism, metabolism without oxygen, and that is the favored environment of cancer. It favors the growth of cancer. So this has caused basically the bulk of the modern epidemics of those three diseases: diabetes, heart disease, and cancer.
You know, I've seen all of these charts that show that starting in the late 1980s or actually in 1990s, you're beginning to see the spike in all of these degenerative chronic diseases, cancer, MS, heart disease, not so much heart disease, but diabetes, and they've all spiked. And the people who are, there are people who are pointing to genetically modified foods. There are people who are pointing to electromagnetic pollution. There are people pointing to chemical farming, et cetera, or vaccinations, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to be taking a short break for a minute, but just briefly, do you think that there is a perfect storm of all of these factors, or do you think that the EMF is the primary factor?
I think all of those factors contribute, but if you look, you do the epidemiology, as I have carefully done, taking it back a couple of centuries, you see that at least for, I've done that for diabetes, heart disease, and cancer, and those began to rise in the 1850s and 60s with telegraph wires encircling the earth and using the earth for returns, return wire. And you can see with each jump in electrical technology, there was a jump in these three diseases. Certainly nowadays, yes, vaccination, yes, pesticides, yes, these other factors have contributed, but they are still not the main contributing factor because of the simultaneous exponential rise in the electromagnetic soup that we're all living in.
Good. Well, we're going to take a very short break. We'll be back with Arthur Furstenberg in a couple of minutes after these messages. Stephen Behrman on WikiPolitiki.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Okay, folks, this is Steve Behrman on WikiPolitiki. We're back with our guest, Arthur Furstenberg. We're talking about the impact not just of electromagnetic radiation from cell phones, but going all the way back 150 years to the telegraph. What made you track it back that far? Tell me more about your research in epidemiology.
I partly is just curiosity, and partly is because I decided to write a book about it, and I needed it thoroughly researched, and I learned a heck of a lot doing the research necessary to write this book. That's the incentive, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, of course, now we've seen statements by various scientists around the world saying that this is that we're talking about 5G now, which is like the mega intensity of this. How is 5G different from all of these other levels of radiation?
Well, first, let me tell you how it's the same. Mm-hmm. It is electromagnetic radiation. It is pulsed, modulated electromagnetic radiation designed to carry data that your computer can store and process. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it's the same. It's the same type of pulsations. It's the same type of modulations. It's the same characteristics of data anywhere. What's different is it uses much higher frequencies in the millimeter wave range. So we're talking instead of megahertz up to a gigahertz, up to... this is up 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 gigahertz so far, with plans to use frequencies up in the terahertz. And the reason for this is they want to carry much more data, much faster, and for that they need much larger amounts of bandwidth. And the higher the frequency, the greater amount of bandwidth. So that's one difference, you're using higher frequencies. Another difference, because you're using higher frequencies, is the power level has to be immensely greater, because these millimeter wave frequencies are easily interfered with by objects and weather and rain and clouds. So they blast it out so that it can get to where they want it to go, and so that it can get through the walls of your house, which takes a tremendous amount of power. The other difference is that this is meant to communicate with many, many more user devices. And not only driverless cars, and not only your cell phones, but basically all your appliances and everything else that you buy in Walmart. It's like they want everything to have an antenna or a chip in it, and the world to become more and more roboticized. And this is for the Internet of Things and artificial intelligence and all this kind of stuff, all wirelessly with radiation taking the place of wires. And so we're talking about 10 to 100 times more radiation than we've ever experienced before. And that is probably the biggest difference.
Do you think that over time and generations, perhaps, or maybe even in one or two generations, that our bodies tend to get used to these assaults and mitigate them?
Actually, quite the opposite. There is some evidence of that. For example, homing pigeons, carrier pigeons used to be used in warfare. And then with the development of radio technology and radar and the increase in electromagnetic waves around the Earth, it became more and more difficult. But eventually these birds recovered. Well, they're not recovering now anymore. It's like you can't do homing pigeon racing anymore without losing a huge percentage of your birds in a very short amount of time. And that did not used to be the case. It's also the case that we're losing insects on this planet. There's been a catastrophic decline. We're losing birds on this planet. They can't navigate. It's disturbing. It's causing forests to become sickly. It's doing a lot of damage in a short amount of time that we can't possibly keep up with. And the idea that we can adjust as if it was a normal toxin, it's not a normal toxin. Our bodies are electromagnetic in their function. And there's just a limited amount of ability to shield your nervous system, for your nerves to grow shielding. That, first of all, that takes a long time. Second of all, it cuts us off from the electromagnetic fields of the earth, which are necessary for health and life. And it's part of our essential being. It's not just an ordinary toxin. This is the mistake that a lot of people are making.
Well, it seems like the ultimate weapon in this war is denial. If we deny that it's happening, then perhaps we won't notice it. I think that that's really been the way that the mainstream systems have been dealing with it. I know that there was a statement from worldwide scientists a month or two ago. What was it that they were saying, and how well have they been heard by any authorities, any governmental authorities?
We have not been heard by governmental authorities. During the Cold War, the Eastern Bloc recognized the harm. They called it radio wave sickness. And, mm-hmm. and their human exposure standards for radio waves, for microwave radiation, was very much lower than here in the West, and that sort of has gone by the wayside since the fall of the Iron Curtain. Now all the telecom companies went into Russia and Ukraine and Eastern Europe, and they started selling them all this wireless technology, and they bought it up. So now there's not that much difference in the world. But there's a lot of science.
There's a lot of science that says that this is damaging. And so here we are. We have the scientists speaking out. They have evidence. Obviously, what this conversation is up against are those who have already decided that this is how the world is going, and, you know, tough luck for everybody else. How do you speak into that kind of a lack of listening?
That's a damn good question. I am not the first to have studied this. I took over from a previous generation of scientists who got discouraged, and they took over from a previous generation of scientists who got discouraged. This has been going on for a very long time.
So obviously it's a reincarnation issue. Obviously the reincarnation of whoever the first guy was have said, wait a minute, this stuff isn't working.
This goes back, as far as radio waves, goes back to Marconi. There were studies already in the 1890s saying, hold on, not so fast, and it was ignored. But the difference now is that the radiation is becoming so intense that it's endangering all of life on Earth, and we don't have a lot of time anymore to just discuss it, and that's why I'm doing my work.
You know, as we're looking at this COVID thing, taking it at face value, all of a sudden the hospitals are overwhelmed and that sort of thing. With the increase in these chronic illnesses, the autism epidemic, as a matter of fact, where 1 in 36 children are now autistic, and that used to be 1 in 3,000. So when you're looking at the price that the society is going to have to pay once all of these conditions become full-blown and you have more people than the system can handle,
We already have more than the system can handle. Just the cause is not being acknowledged. If you go to autism, that's still 1 in 36. If you go to cancer, it's like 1 in 2. Every second person is getting cancer during their lifetime. And again, autism, I'm certain that vaccination has a lot to do with the autism epidemic. Probably the radiation does also, but the vaccinations are right up there. But I want to read to you the symptoms of radio wave sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a list that I compiled, and I published it back in 2001. And we'll start with the neurological symptoms. We have headaches, dizziness, nausea, difficulty concentrating, memory loss, irritability, depression, anxiety, insomnia, fatigue, weakness, tremors, muscle spasms, numbness, tingling, muscle and joint pain, leg and foot pain, back pain, fever. We have cardiac symptoms, palpitations, arrhythmias, pain or pressure in the chest, low or high blood pressure, fast heart rate, shortness of breath. We've got skin symptoms, skin rash, itching, burning. We've got eye symptoms, pain or burning in the eyes, deteriorating vision, floaters. We've got abdominal pain, enlarged thyroid, dry lips, dry tongue, dry mouth, dry eyes, unquenchable thirst, hair loss, impaired sense of smell, ringing in the ears. Now, all these symptoms that I just read you, which are classic symptoms of radio wave sickness, are identical. Every one of those symptoms is contained in the list of COVID-19 symptoms that is circulating around. I have a document here. It's called the COVID-19 Symptom Impact Survey. This is being circulated by Indiana University School of Medicine. Every one of those symptoms I just read you is on their list. And this is what's going on today, is everything is being blamed on COVID-19. Finally, people are talking about their symptoms because it's becoming so intense, because it's becoming rampant everywhere. There's 5G. And nobody is recognizing the cause. And this is so important because it is destroying our world. It's destroying our environment. And we're never going to come out of the COVID-19 pandemic until people start acknowledging this other cause of illness and distinguishing respiratory virus from radiation sickness, which is also everywhere.
So do you think there is such a thing as COVID, or is it something that is, or is it a virus that is where the impact is amplified, or is it simply a way of explaining in a medical model way what people are experiencing through radiation sickness?
A few of the symptoms on this list are respiratory symptoms. Those are the symptoms that are caused by the virus.
Yeah.
All the neurological and other symptoms, the skin symptoms, the eye symptoms, the loss of sense of smell and taste, that's radiation sickness. The two of them together are lethal. Where there's not been 5G, there's not been serious epidemics of COVID-19, but that doesn't mean that there's some COVID-19. It's just not been... COVID-19 causes hypoxia. It causes the blood not to absorb oxygen from your lungs. The radiation causes your cells not to absorb oxygen from your blood. Together, they're lethal. That's what's going on.
Right. So that's true. They did discover that COVID wasn't as much a respiratory issue as it was a blood issue and oxygen in the blood. And that's why the respirators were such a bad idea. It's a great way to kill people, but really not a really great way to save people.
Yeah,
we can kill them that way and make it quicker. But again, it certainly seems that this is a perfect storm of a number of different toxins. And, you know, I'm sure that people, because of biological individuality, there are people who are maybe more susceptible to this than that. When you put all of these assaults together,
and it's people that have diabetes and heart disease that are more susceptible. Why? Because they have diabetes and heart disease because their cells aren't processing oxygen correctly. already without the virus.
Now let's go a little bit deeper into how the cell works in this particular case. What is it about these frequencies? How do the frequencies actually interfere with the mitochondria, and how do they interfere with cellular function?
They interfere with the movement of electrons, because an electron is a charged particle, and any electromagnetic field will have an impact on an electron. It's as simple as that.
Right. And so everybody is susceptible to that to one extent or another.
Everybody is being affected by it. Absolutely.
Some people take the precautions of, well, we don't have any Wi-Fi in the house, or we don't have any where we sleep. But clearly with the advent of 5G, it's going to be largely inescapable.
It will be inescapable because they are putting 5G antennas on the sidewalk outside of every third to fifth home. And that is already happening in some cities. And this is going to be worldwide.
Is there any place that you know where there's a just say no or resistance to that?
Well, in the United States, it is illegal to regulate wireless technology on the basis of health, believe it or not. The Telecommunications Act of 1996 prohibits states and local governments from regulating cell towers on the basis of their health and environmental effects. The only place in the United States where there is legal protection is in Green Bank, West Virginia, which is where the National Radio Astronomy Observatory is. And this is because it's a national observatory, and cell towers and even cell phones are prohibited there because they would interfere with the astronomy. But that's the only place.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I think it's Green Bank. Isn't that interesting? Green Bank. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Arthur Furstenberg to talk about where we go from here. This is Steve Behrman, and we're on WikiPolitiki Radio.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wound, sir?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Okay, well, we're back with our final segment, and this has gone very quickly. We've been very well informed. We may not like what we've heard, but we've been well informed by our friend Arthur Furstenberg. So there's really two questions. First question is, if this is a fait accompli, which it seems to be, how can we as individuals protect ourselves from this onslaught?
Well, the short answer is you can't. Uh-huh. And this is also why I'm doing this work, because if we are to preserve life on this planet, we must put an end to this. This is a more urgent threat to life than climate change.
Mm-hmm.
if people want to protect themselves to some degree, they should get rid of wireless technology in their homes and to begin with, get rid of your cell phone, because the cell phone is really the driving force behind all of this. That the cell phone cannot work without a planet's worth of cell towers out there. So this is what they're catering to, and it's yes, they're putting more and more antennas and more devices, but at root, this started back in 1996 with the cell phone.
And of course, at that point, it became illegal to actually essentially regulate these towers. They built that into the act, just like
the Telecommunications Industry Association lobbied Congress to put that in the law.
Yes, exactly. So as a group of people, as an awakening population, in addition to avoiding using cell phones, et cetera, which seems like all of a sudden our entire life has changed. We're back to what seems like the 19th century. In fact, we had very old cell phones, and we brought them into, because they weren't really working very well, to AT&T, and the young guy there looked at these and he said, "Wow, this is really old." I said, "Oh yeah, these are the cell phones they used in World War I." He kind of nodded. They had little pointy German pointy helmet caps on them. That's how we know they're from World War I. You know, the irony was totally lost on him. You know, which may be an indicator of something. But seriously. What is it that those people who go, you know what, I don't want to hear this news, I love my cell phone, I love living in this century, but I have a feeling that this guy is right. How do we, as an awakening body politic, begin to deal with this? What can be done?
I don't know what can be effective. I am starting to contact all the mainstream environmental organizations that I can find and see if we can get some allies out there in the mainstream, not just talk to fellow injured travelers on this planet, but actually to get this into the mainstream. It has to become known. Basically, there's quite a few famous people who have one way or another become aware that this is a problem, and they're afraid to talk about it, because if they do talk about it, they get ostracized, they lose their position in government, they get voted out of office. I mean, Senator Patrick Leahy is aware of this problem. So is Bernie Sanders. But nowadays, you don't hear them talk about it. Even Joe Biden, his son died of a brain tumor from his cell phone. So and this was brought to his attention. He's aware of it, but it's not acceptable, not culturally acceptable, not socially acceptable to talk about it. And this is what we're trying to change.
So, essentially, it seems like it's a pretty cut and dry thing. Either we basically stop the 21st century, or we find a way to deal with the effects of it. And obviously, the way that we're dealing with it is we're going to accept these high rates of illness as kind of like the cost of doing business, so to speak.
But it's not just illness. We have studies out of France, out of India. There's a spectacular study out of India where honeybees in a beehive were exposed by these researchers to an ordinary cell phone, and after 10 minutes, their metabolism completely shut down. That sugars and fats and proteins skyrocketed in their blood. They were not digesting anything after just 10 minutes. And there was a study that came out last month, funded by the German environmental organization NABU, which reviewed 190 studies on radio frequency radiation in insects. And their conclusion was that wireless technology and radio pollution is likely to be largely responsible for the decline of insects on this Earth. Pretty soon we won't have any insects. We already have a 75 to, in one study, 98% decline in insects, even in a rainforest, in a Puerto Rican rainforest. They found a 97 to 98% decline from the 1970s to now in the number of insects caught in sticky traps in a rainforest. Now that's incredible. And then this summer, actually this fall, we had millions of migrating birds drop dead out of the sky here in the Southwest where I live, and in Texas and in Nebraska and in northern Mexico. Why? They're insect-eating birds, and they don't have anything to eat. It's like we're destroying our planet. It's not just a matter of health. It's not just a matter of adjusting to it. We will not have a planet to live on unless we pay attention.
Well, you know, the dark sense of humor part of me wants to say, oh, my God, the loss of insects, that's going to totally destroy the insecticide industry.
Well, yeah.
I mean, but you see this? Wow, what a terrible thing. Well, you know, if we lose the planet, there goes the GDP like that, you know.
That's sort of what they're talking about, yeah.
But seriously, folks, so what you're saying, and this is absolutely true, this is really, this is fairly well documented, that, you know, we can deal with, you know, with the depopulation of humanity. But if we're talking about depopulation of the entire web of life, then we're really endangering just about everything. And yet, here we are. It seems like we're on this path. We're on this track. The train is chugging along on this track, and it's like driving that train high on cocaine. There's an inevitable crash coming. I know you've been working with us for 40 years, and you're looking at the science. You see the. You know, we're coming around the bend. You can see this is coming around the bend. Other than abandon your cell phone equipment and move to West Virginia, how do we as and I understand the issues with celebrities and that sort of thing losing their platform. There's been such a uniformly sense of Orwellian totalitarian denial about this entire issue that people will they'll go on Google, they'll Google it, they'll see, oh, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, and they're going to go, oh, well, I guess it's okay then. And then there we are down the line, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. So I mean, you're basically sounding the alarm. You're riding through the countryside. The brutish are coming. The brutish are coming. And so, how do we seriously? Is there a coherent movement now to?
There is a movement.
Us? Yeah.
It's still fairly small. There is a worldwide network called the International. It's Stop 5G International. Mm-hmm. It's a worldwide network, and they're putting on events and holding protest days, and that's getting out to more and more people. There is an international appeal to stop 5G on Earth and in space, because space is part of this. SpaceX satellites are part of what's happening to this Earth. I am the administrator for this appeal. The website is 5gspaceappeal.org, and we have in excess of 300,000 signatures so far, including thousands of scientists and doctors and beekeepers because losing bees, and veterinarians because some veterinarians are recognizing the effects on animals, and so forth. We're still not talking to the mainstream, by and large. There is increasing discussion at higher and higher levels, but no policy changes anywhere in the world that I am yet aware of, and we're knocking on the door, and we will continue to knock on the door.
That's all we can do. This brings us to a really interesting question. Given the intractability of this system, and I'm sure that many people find out about your network on their cell phones, how would one, let's say that there is a country, let's say for some reason that there's a country, maybe it's a country like Luxembourg, or maybe it's a country like the United States, that decides that it wants to deal with this issue. If you were writing...
I believe there's a couple of countries which are playing caution with 5G anyway. Papua New Guinea, for example, I think has put a hold on 5G. The city of Brussels, as far as I know, still has a hold on 5G. There are a couple of outliers there who are looking at it, it's a start.
But if they didn't do 5G, let's say that there is a critical mass of the heretofore uncritical masses begin to say, wait a minute, we get it. This is dangerous. This is killing us. And worse than that, it's killing the web of life, which we depend on. We are going to approach our government to mitigate this. What could a government do? What legislation or what policies would stop this at this point and reverse some of the damage?
Well, a smaller government has an easier... I mean, governments have control over what happens in their own territory. Papua New Guinea, I think there was one African country like that who's looking... stopped 5G temporarily. I don't remember if it was Nigeria, but there was one of them. Cyprus. The Cyprus Green Party has come out against 5G. It's happening in small ways. Governments have control. In this country, we have a law that says you can't stop this. In a lot of the world, you don't have such laws. It's just a matter of education and communication, and it's just not happening yet, but we're working on it.
I wonder how many people know about that law and know that that law prohibits any regulation. I think that through these awakening movements, you know, around vaccinations, around GMOs, around all of these entrenched and establishment technologies that have side effects that are more like effects, I think people, you know, there is an awakening movement. And, you know, I think we're aware that more people are thinking about vaccinations now that we're in this COVID crisis. More people are thinking about that than ever before. Is there any sign of encouragement for you that's encouraging that there will be an awakening before we have a wake?
I am noncommittal at this point. the network of which I am a part is growing. It is still small. It is still not mainstream, but it is growing. At that point where it stops to grow and where people stop encouraging me to do this work, I won't be doing this work anymore.
Yeah.
But so far, people are finding my website. People are signing the 5G space appeal, and people are coming out of the woodwork saying, how can I help? So this is a good sign.
So you're growing. So the actual movement is growing.
Definitely, yeah.
Exactly.
And I have effectively a chat group that I'm part of EMF scientists and doctors. There's about 100 of us, and we're discussing among ourselves what to do. It's like even the scientists and the doctors haven't been able to catch the attention of the mainstream. The ones in this field you say people get online and they're told it's fake news. Well, they're not told this by scientists. The scientists who are working in this field are screaming at the top of their lungs.
Got it.
They're just not being heard yet.
So the people who say, oh, you know, you people are anti-science, you're conspiracy theorists who are anti-science, that's not exactly accurate in this particular.
We have about 30,000 studies already saying that RF radiation is harmful to biology, it's harmful to the environment. It's been proven many times over. I did a literature search a few years ago, and I found that there's more evidence on RF, radio frequency radiation, than on almost any other toxin, except for tobacco smoke and mercury, I think were the two that had more studies out there than we do.
Wow. Wow. Well, you're in great company. EMF is in great company with tobacco and mercury as the three most toxic things on the planet. Arthur Furstenberg, I want to really thank you for being our guest. We had I think it was a very enlightening conversation, and it's going to be proliferated widely, and we're going to put the 5G spaceappeal.org on our site so that more people can find out about it.
Cellphonetaskforce.org is my website.
Good. I have that on there already. So thank you again for being our guest. This is Steve Behrman. We'll be back with you next week on WikiPolitiki.